I feel like this particular Sunday, it's an interesting mix as we think about the issue of abortion and the issue of choosing life. It's kind of a mix of sorrow and grief as we think about what is happening in our country. It's also another mix of joy and excitement for what God is doing through ministries like Her Health. So I want to read some scriptures to set the tone. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, "Open your mouth for the people who cannot speak, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and needy." Psalm 139, 13 through 16, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Psalm 82, 3 through 4 says, a prayer, "Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Save them from the hand of the wicked." Psalm 103, 6, "The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed." Two more, Matthew 25, 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me." And last, Joel 2, verses 12 and 13 and 14. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and tear your heart and not merely your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, and relenting of catastrophe. Who knows? He might turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him." So we got a little video to show you about a sanctity of life, and then we'll share some more.
I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. You before one of them came to visit.
Well, we're so excited tonight to have Susie Edgar from the Her Health Center in Sioux City. We're going to just be talking tonight, kind of conversation style, about what the Lord's doing through Her Health, and also just about the issue of how do we engage people in our culture, in our world, about the issues of life. So Susie, we were talking earlier. This is Her Health's 34th birthday. Is that right? So that's exciting. And your mom was a part of getting this started. Is that right?
That's right. 34 years ago, Her Health Women's Center opened their doors on Sanctity of Human Life Day, which was January 22nd. That is in conjunction with the day the Supreme Court did their results of legalizing abortion in 1973. So in honor of that, that's when they opened their doors, and that happens to be the same year you were born.
Yeah, right? In 1980. So I'm 33. So I was thinking either Her Health has been around for a long time, or is it in its prime? I think that's probably
maturing with age.
That's right. There that's right. But no, it's exciting to see what the Lord's doing through your ministry. And I thought we'd start off really by, we'll hear a video later on about a woman choosing life through your ministry. But you have maybe one story, two stories, whatever, of a woman who came to your ministry and chose life.
Okay. Result. I don't know. Maybe not everyone knows what we do at Her Health Women's Center. We are a pregnancy care center. We are what we call the best first step for women facing unplanned pregnancies. So we are out there on the internet and social media, wherever we can reach out to that girl where she's at as she is seeking all of her options. We are going after that girl who thinks abortion is her only choice. And so through her word searches of abortion or Planned Parenthood, we are popping to the top, and she is coming to us. And we offer her that incentive to come because our services are free. If you go to have an abortion, the average cost is about $750, and that's to what is called a nonprofit organization.
Wow,
but
yeah.
Our services are free, and so the girls come so they can have a free pregnancy test to make sure and confirm their pregnancy, as well as an ultrasound to determine how far along she is. And she often wants to know how far along she is so she can determine what kind of abortion. I don't want to go too far into that,
sure,
with little ones here.
Yeah.
But you get the idea. So we are able to bring that woman in, talk to her very, very lovingly, not judgmentally, and talk to her about her options. And then if her pregnancy is confirmed, we can show her ultrasound and show that little one's heart beating as early as 27 days after conception. Just let that sink in. There's a little spot on the ultrasound. We see it's a screen right in front of her, and she can see the heartbeat moving. And that is usually what triggers her thoughts about this is real, this is a life, this is not just something to play around with. So a story that I'd like to share is that a young girl came in, and for sure, this was actually her second appointment. Often we bring the girls in if they're rather early in their pregnancy, and she was for sure going to abort her baby because there was no way. She was like messed up. Her boyfriend had just left her. She was not in a good place. There was no way, no room for a baby. But she ended up being farther along in her pregnancy than she thought on her second appointment. And our sonographer, as she was doing that ultrasound, she goes, "Susie, you wouldn't believe it." She said as she revealed that baby on the screen, that little baby was literally taking his little hand and doing like this. At only 10 weeks, their little hands are formed. And that mama looked on the screen. She was with her her good friend, and she was on her phone with her boyfriend. And she goes, "Oh, my stars." Well, she didn't say that. She said, "Our baby is waving at me." And she determined right then and there that there was no way she could go through with an abortion. And what is so cool is that her story is not only did she save her baby, but that baby saved her. Because she had been messed up on drugs and addictions, but we saw her later. And that she was clean. She'd been 10 months clean and her baby was there, a newborn. And that little baby saved her life as well as she saving hers.
Wow.
So on Thursday, I was so excited because Kathy went. She's our nurse manager. She's from here in Lamar's. And she goes, Susie, wouldn't believe it. We just got three phone calls. We do follow-up calls with our mommies. And she said three of those mommies who we thought for sure were heading to the abortion clinic have chosen life and they have newborn little babies. And so we were delighted and tickled. Those are the stories that we love to hear.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, we did a tour last summer. Some of you were there, and we went down to the Sioux City Center, and we walked through, and we got to go into the ultrasound room, and we prayed, and that was kind of neat to think of the different conversations that might happen in that room.
Sure. I call that the Holy of Holies.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to do that with the pastors, went around the location here in Lamar's, and we got to do the same thing. Maybe we can talk about that, because that's a new satellite location.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool things that happened in 2020, despite being 2020. I know it gets a bad rap, but 2020 was some really awesome things that God was doing with the ministry at Her Health Women's Center. I did want to mention that besides the pregnancy services, I want to say that we also offer parenting classes. And so that's one of the cool things that happened in our time during 2020. A girl who chooses to enroll in our parenting classes, then she can earn points by being mentored, by watching videos, by going and doing positive things, by going to the doctor, going to school, et cetera. And then she gets to spend those points in our little boutique that we have there in Sioux City. And then we have a closet of shelves set up here in Lamar's full of diapers and baby wipes and just fun little goodies that she can earn. So we walk with her in that journey. And during this pandemic, when one-on-one was not so easily accessible, we were able to text those lessons.
Sure.
To the girls. She was able to do her homework, so we were accountable. We could see through the text if she actually watched it. We were able to give her points for that, for her homework. It had some faith questions that we could ask her to develop that whole bringing her to that in that journey of her relationship with Jesus, too. But 2020 also brought the opening of our Lamar's Center, which we are so excited about. We were hoping to open it actually earlier, but, you know, everything happened and then delays of remodeling and renovation happened. And so it was determined that we would open in July. And we thought, well, we wouldn't want to do it right before the 4th of July. Let's open the right away after the holiday, that first Monday. And so I looked on the calendar and that Monday was July 6th. And it was just this cool reminder because July 6th happens to be the birthday of my mom, who was the first director of the center. And I just thought that was a really cool moment that God said, we're with you here. You know, we're with you.
That is neat. So how is it going? So y'all are open up one day a week here.
Right.
In Lamar's.
One day in Lamar's. We're hoping to open up another day this summer. It depends on the staff, on the budget, and all those kind of things that are always needed in a nonprofit. But yes, we are hoping to open that, and we're praying for like the floodgates. That's kind of been our word when we describe and we pray for Lamar's. We want the floodgates to open here because it's given us another expansion into the northern territory of Siouxland, I guess, to reach more and more girls, especially in the smaller communities. So that's what we are so excited to be here in Lamar's. We're downtown on Plymouth and Central Avenue. If you are ever down there, we would love to show you. On Mondays, we're open.
And there was one day a month or so ago that you guys came in and you had I think, five people or something come in on that day.
On
that right?
day, that was our best day, biggest day
right
now. So that's what we're praying for. 5 days and more, five women and more that come through.
Yeah. Now, am I right that the ultrasound machine can travel, the one on the Mars? Is that kind of the idea behind
it? Right. It is a portable ultrasound machine, because the idea is that we would love to expand our services to other college towns, have more satellite centers here where we would maybe be in Vermilion, South Dakota at USD, or at Wayne State in Wayne, Nebraska. So being able to take that ultrasound machine is a good way to utilize those resources.
Yeah. No doubt. I thought we'd talk about a couple of the other things that God's doing through her health. You're getting designs for billboards, sounds like, and bus signs.
Yeah, I need to look on my list.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, about that. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, so October 1st, I took the role as director. Deb Cypersma retired after 20 years of serving as the director. And so just her faithful service to that ministry and stepping into those shoes. So I felt like Gideon, you know, like what's going on here, God? I feel like this weak person stepping into some shoes that I'm not sure of the territory that I'm going into. But God said, pray big dreams. Pray dreams that only I can fulfill. And so one of those dreams that we are asking God for is a Siouxland community awareness. Right now we are on the internet, we're on the radio, but we need to do something bigger and better so that the girls know that we are there for them. And we're not quite sure how it looks. We're working with our marketing company who does our social media campaigns. And I want you to know that it's not the typical way that we think as people who love life reaching that girl. So often people will say, well, just show her a baby. Or show her the heartbeat on a poster. And that's not where she's at. Right now, that girl who is pregnant and it's an unplanned pregnancy, she's at a point where she's only thinking about herself and only thinking about what her life and how it's going to change with this pregnancy. So we need to reach her where she's at and reach her to know that she is a valued, beautiful treasure that we want to care for. One of our ads that we've put in College Magazine says, at Her Health Women's Center, you are our first priority. So that she knows that she is loved, because we cannot save that precious little baby without saving that mama. We can't save that precious little baby until that mama knows that she's a valuable person and that she's empowered to care for another little life.
Yeah. Well, let me skip ahead, because it kind of relates to that. You know, I think developing the muscle of caring for young moms is a really important thing. Just this whole issue of how do we engage the world on this? It can kind of seem like this trench warfare where we're just firing shots at the other side. But I love how you guys have a heart for these young moms who are confused, lost, thinking lies, believing lies. And so to talk a little bit about what does it look like to be a young mom facing an unplanned pregnancy? I mean, maybe many of us haven't talked to a young woman like that, but you guys talk to them all the time. Like, what are they thinking? What's it like?
Good question. One statistic that's rather sobering, and you'll find it, at least some of the stats that we have in our impact report from 2019, but it talks about the different styles of girls, what kinds of girls that we have here. And you will see that we have about 50, 60% of those girls claim they're Christians when they walk through our doors. The statistics say that 4 out of 10 women who go to the abortion clinic that month were in church. So it's not just like those girls out there. It's all here. And it's this, we get girls saying that they have to have an abortion for 3 different reasons. One is the shame factor. I can't put the shame of an unplanned pregnancy on my parents. I know that this wasn't right. And if I tell my parents, they're going to be so disappointed in me. My parents are going to be devastated. So she is so ashamed of what has happened. I can't have a baby because there's no way I could raise a baby. I'm messed up enough myself. So those two reasons right there, she's not thinking of herself. She's not like, you know, that defiant kind of woman that often we see or that we see in our literature or that might be maybe portrayed when we talk as pro-lifers, right. Okay? She's actually thinking about her family. She's thinking about that baby. And then the third reason is a baby's not convenient, okay?
Sure.
Now, all three reasons are not correct. I'm not saying that they're at all, but we're meeting her where she's at and helping her to think through those decisions, helping her think through those rationales. With every appointment, we pair that young woman with two different women. The research says that girls who have had either abortions in their past or unplanned pregnancies wish they could have talked with two types of women. One, like, would be a mom-type figure to kind of practice, how am I going to tell my mom, my aunt, my grandma, how am I going to do this? The second is a nurse that will talk to this girl about all the physical things that are going on in her body. But that client advocate, that mom type figure is incredibly important because she makes sure that the girls are safe, that the girls are in a safe place and that they have a place to go. She finds out what is her situation. Often a girl is brought with by somebody. So we need to make sure that that person who brought her is a safe person. So we're always looking for domestic violence. We're looking for sex trafficking, those kind of issues, because they're so interrelated with the abortion issue.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things that we literally are going to her and meeting her where she's at.
Yeah. You know, two scriptures come to mind. One is the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And that I think lost is a good image there for where a lot of women might be in that situation is you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And Christ pursues. I love that.
Exactly. And it's like we're here and we treat it as a very much of a medical style appointment, very professional. We ask her these series of questions, and yes, it is like we're offering you life. Here are your options. We are loving you through this, and she has to make that choice, and she has to realize that it is her decision, but she's not being coerced. She's not being judged. These are the options that you have.
A scripture that just kind of came up, I think, in a meeting. Pastor Fred, I think, just quoted it with regard to something else. But 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And I just wondered if that's kind of a mentality to have as you're talking with these gals. But
for sure, I was thinking when you were reading scripture there, Jake, I was thinking of when I first joined the center, I had been on the board and, you know, I voted pro-life and those kind of things. And then this position came up to work full time at the center. And it's like, I'm not quite sure about that. And these verses from Proverbs 24, 11 and 12 caught me. It just happened to be, you know, coincidentally on my chronological Bible reading. And it says, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and he sees you. And I see that as not only those little lives who are being taken to their death in the abortion chambers, but also as that young woman goes into the abortion chamber, she is staggering toward her death, because every time a woman takes the life of her little one, a part of her soul is taken away as well. And it's not the unpardonable sin. And I want to share that, because we here at the center, We know that there's women in the church all over that have had an abortion in their past, and we offer hope for that as well.
Amen. Yes.
We have people on our staff who have gone through abortion, and they've gone through and seen the forgiveness of Christ.
Wow.
We have girls that do choose to abort their baby even after being with us, and then they come back because they knew that they would find love and forgiveness at our doors.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. For a while there wasn't a Planned Parenthood location in Sioux City, and I just learned by talking with you on the phone that there is a location now in Sioux City, and on the phone you said something about praying for more Abby Johnsons, and I love that. Maybe talk about what you mean. Maybe explain who Abby Johnson is for those who might not know.
All right, so the Planned Parenthood in Sioux City closed in 2017. And that was really cool. Then our numbers really rose at that time because those girls were able to come to us first. We were very excited about that. And then they decided to open during the pandemic in June. So they're open in Sioux City on Wednesdays. So if you are familiar with Abby Johnson, the movie Unplanned, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a very disturbing movie to watch, but it tells the story of Abby Johnson, who was the director of a Planned Parenthood, and her journey of realization about life. And so her story ends at Planned Parenthood because people were praying for her. And she ended up leaving the directorship of that Planned Parenthood and now has a ministry called And Then There Were None. So she writes leaders of Planned Parenthood centers. She writes employees and nurses, and she tells them that there's ways out, there's other jobs. And she has this And Then There Were None ministry where she offers these nurses different jobs and different positions. So that's when I say we were praying for Abby Johnson's. If there's no workers to work in the abortion centers, then that helps stop the ministry. And even better, if there's no girls to go to the abortion centers because they find options of life at pregnancy centers, then that's even better.
Well, I love, you know, the thought of you and one of the things we even will pray for is for laws to change. But it can feel sometimes like what can I do about that? And certainly there are, but that doesn't mean there's nothing to do. You can change the culture. You know, you can work to change people's hearts, and there's a wide open lane there. And I love seeing that opportunity of saying, maybe right now a law isn't going to be changed, but I can work on hearts. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about Saul. We talked through Galatians this last year, and in Galatians, Paul's telling his testimony, you remember, and he gets saved and he's attending church and says this about the other Christians at his church, but they only kept hearing, "The man who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me." And I think that's a good attitude to pray for someone working at a Planned Parenthood, that God would open the eyes of their hearts, and that ultimately God would get the glory through it.
Amen. We pray for that every Wednesday. That's our focus, you know, for those women to have their eyes, like, what didn't it say? It's like the came off of his eyes. I can't think of that word.
Yeah.
Thank you. The scales came off. That's what we're praying for.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna transition now. We're gonna show a video about a woman who chose life, kind of another story. So we can go ahead and show that at this time.
I remember the night that I took the test and it coming out positive. I got very nervous. I got very scared. I thought a lot about what am I going to do? How am I going to give all of that love to my other two girls if I have another child? How am I going to support them? What are other people going to think? Are other people going to judge me? I'd just gotten out of a divorce. I was overburdened with fear. The first thing I asked my mom was,
would you be disappointed in me if I kept the baby? She told me that she supported me either way. So at that point, I was still really struggling with all the obstacles and all the unexpected plans and being alone. I made an appointment in Omaha to terminate. Growing up, I wasn't raised in a church. I wasn't raised with a lot of spiritual guidance. Before I left Colorado, before I got divorced, we went to church a lot. That's where my journey started. So I was really strong in my faith, but I was still lost, trying to be the right Christian, but still struggling with being strong and being happy. So all along I knew morally, you know, what was always inside of me, how I felt about it, but because I was so scared, I wanted to act on it right away, get it done and over with so I wouldn't have to think about it. But there was a week before that that I had to think about it, and it never left my mind. My sister-in-law told me about her Health Women's Center and said that you can go in there. It's confidential, it's free, and you can get an ultrasound. I did feel like I was alone in it all, but when I came in here, they didn't care if I was alone. They didn't care how it happened, and it doesn't matter. And then seeing the ultrasound made it more real. That's when it really made an impact, and then finally I just called them in Omaha and then canceled the appointment. And I just started the journey of slowly unraveling the knot. From the minute that she came, she brought so much peace to me. And I think in the most unconventional way, that was, you know, God saying to me, there's more. And she is my godsend. I can't imagine who I would be right now if she wasn't in my life or in my home.
I personally tried to follow up with Megan several attempts, and my heart just sunk because I felt like she's had an abortion. She's one of them that went through with it.
Unfortunately, I did not respond because I just wanted to get through it, so I did push a lot of people away. Once all of that, you know, subsided, then I felt that tug and that urge to, like, I needed to reach out to her Health Women's Center and let them know that they did make a difference.
After she had her baby, she sent us a letter that she changed her mind. I am writing to thank you. I came in September of last year, unsure if I could go through another pregnancy. I had made an appointment to terminate, but I decided to choose love over fear. You helped me with that.
Now I have one of the best people of my life here with me. You guys do a wonderful service and make a difference. Thank you. Everly Grace, born April 24th, 2019.
What a neat story to watch. So neat to see what God's doing through your ministry. How can people get involved? How can we get involved and be a support to her health?
Awesome question. We want to write. Am I on?
I think there we go.
We want to write more stories like Megan's, and it's life by life, one life at a time. One of the biggest things that we really want to have people do is pray. I know you guys are a praying church, so I say that specifically to you. On Friday, the 22nd of January, this coming Friday, we are going to have our day of prayer. We invite you to join us or join us in your home to, as you think about that. That is Sanctity of Human Life Day. We will be praying over the next, praying over the things to prepare us for the year ahead. If God is tugging on your heart about being involved more specifically as a volunteer or an advocate, We really need women to come alongside. We are also working toward a men's mentoring, which is just in its beginning stages. So that is something that we would love to talk to you about. We need nurses who would be willing to be that person who does the pregnancy tests or be trained to do very limited sonography. And also we are doing God-sized dreams. We came up and we said, Lord, what would you have us do? And we just wrote all these dreams that would that God would have us serve these women in erasing that demand for abortion. Our mission statement says, together we honor Jesus Christ by erasing the demand for abortion through effectively serving women facing unplanned pregnancies, women and their partners. So it's a together statement because it's not us just at Her Health Women Center, but it's the church rising up. And it's not just a women's problem. It's a cultural problem. And so pray, volunteer, and we need gifts. We need some large gifts as we think of the next few months ahead as we go for these big size dreams. And at the very least, men, rise up and love your families. We need daddies who say to their little girls how loved they are. Amen. We need daddies to love their wives and have strong families. That can be one of the most powerful things that we can do.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Susie, for coming. Can we give her a hand? Thank you for
thank you so much for
joining us. I'm gonna call an audible, Daryl and Jane. We went a little longer here. We're just gonna break up into our prayer triangles. So we have our triangle set up like normal. If you didn't grab one on your way in, on that music stand, there's some sheets for how we're going to pray tonight, just some different things we can be praying for. So focus your prayer time tonight. Normally we pray for just each other, but tonight we're praying for this. And so grab one of those if you haven't. Break up into your groups on your mark, get set, go.